Aloha.
Shout out Pearl Harbor, by the way.
Topo Chico, I've nothing to drink. Gone.
See, it feels like a... It feels more like a show.
It feels more like a show.
Boom, 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 boom. Hello and welcome. We're back from the BallLifestyle.com. I already did that earlier. Just trying stuff out here. Like I said, we have an Ed Explains a Movie to do that kind of got screwed up in the technical portion. So, but it's still really funny. It's definitely not what I was expecting. I have never seen the Star Wars Christmas special, as I don't think most people have seen it because it only ever aired once. And it was such a cokey idea that we're like, what the fuck was going on? It had to be the past in the 70s, because they're like, let's just do coke and have Chewbacca's family do a story about Chewbacca's family, and we're gonna put it on Sunday night at 8 o'clock. Like, what are you fucking kidding me? What if I move this further away from my face? So we talked about that. It was very funny, and we're gonna get to it in a minute, but it's not gonna be on video because the video part didn't work. Let's jump in. Let's do a couple of the song's still playing. Let's do a couple of voicemails. And also, what do you think? Do you guys want to do like a live type of Instagram live type thing? We'll set it up for like maybe Sunday night, December 29th, and we'll record it then, and we'll just kind of make it a Red Circle only, or YouTube only, or whatever.
Okay, let's do some voicemails.
He's so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying him. He's so annoying. Plus, so fucking boring and worthless, but he's got nothing else to do. And he's even worse than Ish. His thoughts are useless, shit. He's fat and got big tits. He's been well in Gardenia.
Okay, couple of voicemails, couple starts and stops here. It's fun. We're having fun. Voicemails.
Hey, Ballers. Drew and Phoenix
here. Drew and Phoenix.
First of all, happy holidays.
Yes.
I'll get right into it. Merry Christmas. Ed, I couldn't help but notice that in an episode that came out at the end of December, you're talking about still eating Thanksgiving turkey. So, is this thing frozen?
No, I mean, I know that I know how Ed gets, and he probably won't listen to this, but if he were here right now listening, he'd be fuming, because Drew in Phoenix, loyal listener, Drew in Phoenix, very with it guy, has missed a very important detail. Because Ed said that he did something with his points at the Stop and Shop, which I understand is the local grocery store it's the go-to grocery store there in the New Jersey area. With his points at the Stop and Shop, he was awarded a complimentary turkey, which he subsequently roasted recently, just because. So not leftovers. So no, he was not eating 3-week-old turkey, 4-week-old turkey from Thanksgiving last week. Okay, that needs to be clarified. Now,
Continue.
Or are you just still eating that out of the fridge? And what's your general rule on leftovers? Because for me, if I have to ask myself, when did we make this?
Yeah.
That means it's been in there too long.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It's a week. 1 week is the time. Maybe even 5 days. Once, like, if you've seen it in there long, you know, sack of turkey, that's gone in a week. You're eating it every day. And then after a week, you're like, I don't want to see it anymore. Like, a week is actually kind of pushing it. Okay. I'm going to retract my original 1 week, and I'm going to say 4 to 5 days. Maximum 4 to 5 days. That's the limit.
Okay. Lastly, I just wanted to say, during the holiday season, I just want to be grateful. I'm grateful for the show you guys created.
You're welcome.
And this community you've created. I've had more human interaction with people I've met through this show this year than I have with people I've known my entire life.
That is kind of crazy.
I'm really grateful for that. Yeah, so
it is kind of fun.
Thank you for everything. And yeah. I'm excited to see what the show brings in 2025.
Let's see it. Me too.
Thanks.
It's probably more of the same, I'm guessing. We'll see. Could get better. Thank you for that, Drew. Here's another voicemail.
Hi, Katie Shady. So I don't know anything about this flag planning stuff because I live in Cincinnati and it's not really Ohio.
It's Kentucky.
And, we don't care about the Buckeyes in Cincinnati. That's it. All right. Happy New Year. Bye.
Happy New Year. Miss you. But Katie Shady is very politically active. Like, she knows what's going on in the state of Ohio. Hey, she's being obstinate. She knows about the flag planting. It affects the, and she does. Yes, she lives in the Kentucky part of Ohio, but she still lives, you know, she casts a vote in Ohio elections. I bet you 100%. So she knows that this is happening in her state, the flag planting law, and she knows it's kind of bitch. She knows there's some state. What do they have over there? In a Knesset? No. Politburo? What do they have in Ohio? A state legislature, right? Like we do. State Senate. She knows there's some state senator there that's trying to make it illegal to plant flag. Like what? That's in your state. Okay, you know about it. You're pretending not to know about it. That's fine. You heard about it here, but you heard about it on your local news or in your local paper around town, like people talking, people at the, you know, Katie Shady's a big mover and shaker in her area. So she knows about it. Okay. Couple emails here that I saw. Butch and Sunny update. This is a big deal. Another month for them to do all the fucking. I bet they smell awful. How come you don't read my emails anymore? Did I get blocked? Merry Christmas. That's from Matthew Richards, who we love, who sent me this pencil, I'm pretty sure. No, Matthew, we love you. But Matthew, a lot of times he sends stories and always he sends stories. And I'm never sure how to integrate them into the show. So sometimes I do and sometimes I don't. But this time I will. NASA astronauts Butch Wilmore and Suni Williams cannot catch a break due to technical problems with Boeing Starliner. Their expected 8-day stay. 8 days. That's too long. The original mission is way too fucking long. Full stop. Hold on. I lost my place. Their expected 8 days to 8 days stay on the International Space Station was pushed back to 8 months. Now they've had their return flight pushed back again after NASA said yesterday that Wilmore and Williams won't be able to come back until late March earliest instead of February. They're staying as positive as anyone stranded in space could be, with Williams saying recently, just living in space is super fun. Let's get more detail on this. Why are astronauts stuck in space? Here's how the Boeing Starliner crew ended up on the space station for months. I do want to know this because I don't really know. two NASA astronauts who flew up to the International Space Station in a Boeing Starliner capsule for a round trip that was supposed to last just over a week will be stuck in space for closer to a year before they can come home. Despite the astronauts' longer than expected stay at the space station, officials have insisted that Suni Williams and Butch Wilmore. Doesn't that sound like the backcourt at Syracuse? You know, it's like, hey, can Suni Williams and Butch Wilmore take him to the Final Four this year under Coach Jim Boeheim? Do you think they can make a run at the ACC Conference Championship and get that automatic number one seed? But Suni Williams and Butch Wilmore, no? Aren't stranded in space. Here's what we know about the stuck astronauts. Williams and Wilmore blasted off to the space station in June. It's December, guys. They left in June. Their mission was supposed to take between 8 and 10 days. I don't like that part. Kind of open-ended. You know, there's a window. I guess there is weather kind of fucks with you sometimes. You know, it's like you're supposed to come down in, you know, they fly these things in one of the stands now. They don't go out of Cape Canaveral anymore because we don't have shuttles. We only do international space with our dear friends, the Russians. And I think this is part of the issue. Maybe I should read further and we'll know. Williams and Wilmore blasted off to the space station in June. Their mission, 8 to 10, but helium leaks in the capsule's propulsion system and degraded thrusters. It's a good band name. Which are important for reentry, upended plans for bringing the astronauts back to Earth. How are they degraded already? 8 days to 8 months or 9 months or 10 months. That's a quote. 8 days to 8 months or 9 months or 10 months, comma, whatever it is, comma. We're going to do the very best job we can do every single day. Wilmore told CBS News correspondent Mark Strassman. At the time, they were expected to leave the space station in late February 2025. The capsule itself, see, this is the thing. They couldn't ride back on the capsule and it came back just fine. The capsule itself safely returned to Earth in September with no one on board. Williams turned 59. That's the lady, Suni. Turned 59. So you know what that means? I mean, do I have to say it? She no longer has a menstrual cycle that we have to worry about. Okay. And just say that. Okay. Cause that look, it's an issue. Okay. No matter how you got, it's something you got to deal with every month for most ladies. I'm with you girls, you know, whether you're using the Diva cup, you know, old school tampon, sanitary napkin, any of those methods. Hey, you free bleed. You can't free bleed in space. Sorry. But I think Suni's beyond those years. Thank God. She joined NASA in 1998 after serving in the Navy for over a decade, retiring as a captain, as a naval aviator. How much you want to bet she flew A-10s? Do we think she flew A-10s? Fucking warthogs. Badass. Tank killers. As a naval aviator, she logged over 3,000 flight hours in 30 different aircraft. At NASA, she had set a record for women with 4 spacewalks. Fuck spacewalks. That's the one where you just float away. Didn't George Clooney float away or something in the Galaxia? What was that called? Didn't go well. I didn't watch it. Because fuck space. We'll get to that. At NASA, she had set a record for spacewalks lasting a total of 29 hours. That's too long. They don't last 17 minutes, but it was broken by Peggy Whitson with her 5th spacewalk in 2008. Is it a contest? Why are we keeping records of this? Wilmore also retired from the Navy as a captain, recording over 8,000 flight hours as a naval aviator. Look, we're not keeping more, but he's got more than twice as many. During Operation Desert Storm in Iraq in 1991, Wilmore flew 21 combat missions. He joined NASA in 2000 and accumulated 178 days in space before the Starliner mission. Like Williams, he has also performed 4 spacewalks, totaling 25 hours and 36 minutes. He's got a big, this is them getting ready to take off, and he looks like he has a bandage on his chin. Also, should we, like, these people are advanced ages. Like, is this the ages of astronauts should be, like, 35, 33. You see the right stuff? Sam Shepard? Ed Harris? They were young. They're supposed to, Chuck Yeager? You're not, he wasn't 60 going to space. That's too old. The June launch was the Starliner's first piloted test flight. NASA has funded the development of the capsule and SpaceX Crew Dragon as the space agency looks to stop using Russian Soyuz flights. See, that's very key, right? Because of the propaganda. Read between the lines. As the space agency looks to stop using Russian Soyuz flights to transport astronauts to and from the space station. Doesn't Soyuz sound like it's like the it's like the European name for a GM car? Like a Buick is an Opel, and like an Oldsmobile would be a Soyuz. Hey, hit the rental car counter, see if they have a low mileage Soyuz. What they're saying is they could come home on the fucking Russian thing. The Soyuz goes back and forth whenever it fucking feels like it. It's tried and true. But they're trying to do a new thing with the Starliner thing, and it didn't work. And now they're like, we don't know what to do. We can't come home. I know what to do. Get the Soyuz, guys. They'll go get them. Can't do that. It's a political thing, whether you want to believe it or not. On Tuesday, December 17th, NASA announced Williams and Wilmore, too close in names, by the way, two W people, going to the Starliner. Let's space out the, maybe get an L or a J with one of the W's. Two W's at the same time, it's confusing. Williams and Wilmore, they both start with Will. That would be an issue for me as a project manager. Sending people to space on the Starliner. We're going to confuse these people. That won't happen until late March at the earliest. So NASA and SpaceX have more time to finish a new Dragon spacecraft for the mission. They're building a new thing because they just don't want to, because it's a bad look to have the old thing with that the bad guys are in control of the old thing, but space is all of ours. We work on space together with these guys, and also fuck space. You realize that these guys, when they go to space, they're going like a little bit further than a 747 goes when it's taking you to London. Do you know that? It's like they're like, oh, we're in space, and they're like, where they're like, oh, we're just a little above. We're not. They're in soup. They're just high altitude. Remember that dude that took the balloon? Felix Baumgartner, the Austrian. Remember that dude? He was basically in space. He probably high-fived Sunny and Butch on the way down when he parachuted. He was also in space. Get the fuck out of here. NASA astronaut Frank Rubio. That can't be the name. That's a guy that makes sandwiches in the Bronx. Frank Rubio. And two cosmonauts, 6 months stay on the space station was unexpectedly extended to a year after their Soyuz ship became disabled. A replacement had to be launched up to the trio so they could return to Earth in 2023. So light on details there, CBS News, but basically we sent them up in a thing that's brand new, but the thrusters had been degraded somehow. So I don't know. They have lots of cool patches on their uniforms though. These uniforms look boss. They got cool ass patches on them. They look real futuristic. Oh, the eye.
As you guys see my eye?
It's better, okay? People, J-Thousand Steps was like, hey, you got to put a compress on that eye on my story today. And he's right. It's noticeable. But I swear it's better. It's been a month. It's healed, the eye situation. Anyway, fuck space. And, it's pointless. You know what's cool? You know what's not cool? Space. You know what is cool? The ocean. Okay? You know where there's a lot of cool shit? The ocean. You know what's in space? No. No one does. Who cares? We can't go far enough. We send some shit way out there, make some cool pictures. Is it real? I don't know. Seems kind of cool. Does it cost a lot? A lot. Are we getting anything out of it? Zero. Nothing. Oh, is there a rock on Mars? Tons. Mostly rocks. Did there used to be water there? Maybe. Are we going to go live there? Never. Think of the fucking losers that would volunteer to go to Mars. And lots of people have. Oh, we're going to Mars. You want to go? Yeah. Well, then you can't. Why? Because you wanted to. We have to nominate somebody that doesn't want to. That's who should go. Not the people that want to. Okay. We're going to jump into Ed Explains a Movie because it's very good. It's just not going to be on the video portion. You're going to have to go to listen to it on the link. But first, one more email that I saw. One more email here. Let's get to it. So, story for Fan about our dearly missed Kyle. Oh, this is my buddy Fan was texting me this week about how he almost winged a squirrel with a rock while he was out walking his dog. He saw a squirrel in a tree and he picked up a rock and he fucking winged it at the squirrel and almost hit him. And he's like, but if it were Kyle, he would have hit him, which is true. And so then I texted Kyle's wife the story because, people think about Kyle all the time. He used to call the show. He's a great guy. And she sent me a picture of a squirrel he caught and then kept in a cage for a while to just show his kid. Hey, look at the squirrel I caught. It lives in this cage now before he let it go. I mean, come on. But she's like, you should talk to Amish Dave's wife about this. Remember Amish Dave? Now I'm fucking with the eye because I'm self-conscious about it and everything else. Story for Fan about our dearly Miss Kyle. This is Amish Dave's fiance reach. I mean, what's better than that? This is Amish Dave's fiance. This is Amish Dave's fiance reaching out with a Kyle story. Brittany, that's Kyle's wife. Brittany reached out saying you guys were talking about squirrels. One weekend during the winter last year, a local bar was holding a squirrel hunt. So Kyle and Amish Dave signed up and took my truck for the day and went on this hunt. A couple days later, I had signed up for a grocery pickup, knowing that my truck was full. I had asked the very young worker to put the cat groceries in the bed of the truck. He went back and came back up to ask, are you sure you want these back there? I replied, yes. He went back again and came up again and said with a very disgusted sound, are you sure you want these back there? I had replied, yes. He loaded the bed up and walked by saying, it's all in there. Have a good day. But he still looked very disgusted and weird. I was confused about what I thought was an attitude, so I got out to see what was wrong. Come to find out, Kyle and Amish Dave left all their dead squirrels in the bed of the truck. This is one of my favorite memories of Kyle. Hope you guys enjoy. Signed, Amish Dave's fiance. I mean, yes, the bed of the truck being filled with forgotten dead squirrels. Look, if there were a dead squirrel, like every day I take a walk out here and I do this like loop through this little park area, outdoor area. And many of you have seen my stories on Instagram with the gooses that live out there. I do wildlife stuff. There's gooses, lots of snakes. I've had lots of snakes. And oftentimes there's millions of squirrels on that trip. Too many. There's also lots of dudes that fly around like motorized parachutes that I pray for the misfortune to befall them. Not me. That's a joke, obviously. But I see a lot of squirrels. If there were a single dead squirrel on that walk, I would be very aware of its presence until it was gone. There was a dead rat in my backyard maybe like 2 months ago. That I was like, I saw it out there, but it was like kind of far from the house. And I'm like, fuck, I don't want to have to do it. It's a whole like build up for me. I know I'm a loser. I got to like throw a box over the top of it and try to scoop it into the box without having to see it. I don't know. Cause it's dead and it scares me. I don't know why. I'm going to talk about that in therapy though. Cause I need to bring things in to therapy, right? Everyone does. And because then you're like, oh, I don't have anything to talk about. I told my therapist, I'm like, I brought this thing in to talk about you. And she's like, you don't have to do that. And I'm like, yeah, but then what if I don't have anything to talk about? And she's like, those are the best sessions. And I'm like, what? She told me, she's like, somebody, I shouldn't be saying this. This is over. I'm learning about oversharing. Hold on, my ear itches. Oh my God. I'm learning about oversharing and I do it. I'm a major oversharer and it's a problem. I'm going to do it now. She was telling me, she's like, sometimes people, and she motions to like the lay down part, you know, she's got like the standard, like TV shrink, like bed thing that you can lay down in. And she goes, yeah, sometimes people come in here and they lay down there. And she's like, and it'll just be silent for 20 minutes. And I was like, whoa. And then she goes like this. She goes, but you don't do that. She's like, cause you sit. Like she pointed out that I sit in one of the sitting up chairs. And I go, I'm never going to lay down there ever. It's never crossed my mind. I didn't even know people really did it. I just thought it was just kind of there. And I go, I'm never going to lay down there. And she goes, why not? And I go, too vulnerable. I'm not like somebody could get me if I was lying down. It's insane. Also, your head is like, she's like behind you, just like on TV. You're lying down and she's like right there. No. But she's like, sometimes people just lie there for 20 minutes and not say anything. And those are the best sessions. And I'm like, well, that ain't going to be me because I come in. I got shit. I try to. And I just start. It's like writer's block. I just start talking. But I've already forgotten what I was going to. Oh, my rat fear. I'm going to bring that up to her. If there were a dead squirrel on my walk, I would notice it every single day. If there was a whole bunch of them in the bed of somebody's truck that I borrowed, I'd be like, oh, by the way, I left a whole bunch. Did they win, by the way? I left a whole bunch of dead squirrels in the back of your truck. This was a contest. I assume the winners of the contest killed the most squirrels. Can we find out if they won? Amish Dave's fiance. And is there anything better than Amish Dave's fiance referring to the man she's going to be married to at some point as Amish Dave? Or... I mean, that's the best part of the story is that she calls him Amish Dave and that she calls herself Amish Dave's fiance. The third best part of the story is that she was returned her vehicle filled with dead animals and that they didn't tell her or think to tell her. And then She also lives in a place where the grocery kid puts the groceries in your car for you.
Oh.
That's my head exploding. That happens. And also, and not only do they do that, but then the grocery kid didn't even go like, hey, do you know there's a bunch of dead squirrels back here, right? He just looked at her disgusted. Like, wouldn't you be like, you would assume the person didn't know there were dead squirrels in the back of their truck, but is it so common in this area of Wisconsin that there's dead squirrels in vehicles? And that he's like, oh, yeah, just, you know, I guess she wants her ground beef next to rotting rabid squirrel carcass. I mean, it just feels like something that could have been worked out with just sort of the minimum amount of communication. What do I know? But that's still the third best part behind Amish Dave's fiance referring to her future husband as Amish Dave and referring to herself as Amish Dave's fiance. Like, that's there's nothing better than that. It's the best thing that's going to happen. Okay, let's jump in. Ed Explains a Movie coming up next. Thank you for bearing with me. I tried to go live. I'm fucking around. I'm being a little loose. You know, I'm just having fun with it. Just having fun with it out here. Okay. I appreciate anybody that tuned in, that anybody that listens or cares about what we do here. I love you very much. It means everything to me that you guys are out there coming in every single week, even if it's fucking five people. I don't give a shit that anybody is entertained at all by anything I do. It brings me more joy than ever I could express to you. So thank you very much. Until next time, for Mr. Ed Daly, my name is Brian Beckner. This has been, or it's going to continue to be until you're done, episode number 556 of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. We will see you next week.
Aloha.
Shout out Pearl Harbor, by the way.
Hello and welcome. We are back from the BallerLifestyle.com. It's the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. My name is Brian Beckner. This is a special episode. We're doing a little Ed Explains a Movie today. It's the morning time. So if you're watching on YouTube, it's very light in my studio. I look like shit. My hair. I kind of have like 1986 Joan Collins hair going right now. So we'll see. I'm joined now, as always, by Mr. Ed Daly. Ed, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing well, but I'm about to describe by far the worst movie that we've ever discussed.
That's not true. It's not worse. So the worst movies we've ever done. Meatballs.
Howard the Duck.
You hated Valley Girl. I love that movie. Rad was horrible. But I mean, they dance on their BMX bikes at the prom. Like, okay. Also, they're like 30. So, you know, and my girl,
College Scandal woman.
Yes. And Becky is in it. Lori Loughlin.
Yeah.
So, hey, you know, it could be worse. So, I mean, at least also Gone with the Wind sounded kind of horrible, but I didn't watch that.
Yeah, but that's like an iconic movie that there was stuff happening.
Right, right. This, oh, yeah. Yeah.
So the history with our show with this is it was recommended like, hey, what we're going to do a holiday episode. And a few people were like, oh, do the Star Wars special.
Yeah.
And I watched like 10 minutes of it. Yeah. I was like, nah, I can't watch this. Then I wrote I told you we're scrapping that. We cannot do this.
Smart. Yeah.
Then when I wrote my Christmas book, I was like, I really need to watch this.
Yeah.
And I watched it and it was terrible and it was really bad. And then I was like, when we were trying to come up with what we'll do for this year, I was like, all right, maybe I'll explain this one to you. And I revisited it and I'm like, I have now seen this two times in my life and I never, ever, ever want to see this again. This is the worst thing ever.
Yeah, I definitely, I don't think I've ever seen, is this, because I would remember, like,
because every Christmas.
Well, this is 78, and they only showed it in 1978 and then never again. So these are bootleg copies.
Right. So
like, it's not like this was aired on network TV every other year. It was aired once.
Yeah, that makes sense because I know it exists. I've never seen it. And I was like, Christmas time would come around when I was a little kid. I'd get fired up for the Yogi Bear Christmas special.
Oh, yeah. And sure.
Of course, those horrible, depressing It's a Charlie Brown Christmas, like all of those. The beautiful Rankin Bass, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, I would get fired up. So if this existed in childhood, I would know about it. And I've definitely never seen it, and I'm certainly never going to see it, but I would like to know about it. Is there singing? Are there songs?
Oh, yeah.
No, stop.
But the Star Wars people don't sing, but they're singing. Okay. There are a bunch of versions on YouTube, and the version I cannot stress enough, nobody should go out and watch this thing.
Okay.
But there is going to be a scene that I will tell you to watch, and I'll give you the exact timing. So there's different. So the version I'm watching is a 1 hour, 37 minute.
Okay.
26 second version.
Yeah.
So this was a long fucking movie.
Yeah. But anyway, that is so long for network TV.
Yeah. Well, they had nothing going on. And so I think from like there have been, documentaries made about this thing and I haven't watched it, but I've like read clips.
Yeah.
You think the writer's room, everyone was on cocaine, and like Bruce Valanche was in that writer's room.
Stop.
Confirms he was heavily on cocaine while writing this.
Bruce Valanche was involved?
Yes. It's crazy. So I think the idea was, I think Star Wars came out in 77 and George Lucas was going to make another one, but he wanted to keep things hot. So he's like, all right, we're going to give him a holiday special to, keep Star Wars in the public mind.
Well, they probably backed up the Brinks. Hold on, I'm just getting. I want to be able to make notes here. Get the old. Remember this?
Yeah.
What was this?
What was it? Did you need to lick your
Get your pen going or something? I mean, why did they do that?
To take notes, people would lick their pens.
Yes, insane.
Oh, weird.
Okay, go on. So, yes.
All right, so
the special. Oh, what I was going to say is they backed up the fucking Brinks truck. So this guy, this fucking George Lucas, what's he make? Ed, American Graffiti, right? Like that's his entree. He comes out of USC film school, whatever. I don't know his whole story. I know he's got the whole neck thing, but not back then. Not back then. He didn't have the neck thing going. And he makes American Graffiti. He goes from that to it is pretty fucking ambitious, this Star Wars. Like the fact that they made this whole thing with fucking models. Like there was no computers, right? They're
lots of miniatures. A lot of miniatures.
The X-Wing fighters are fucking little things, are little models on a string, and they're just like playing with the lights and shit, and they're running shit over like other little models. It's all like fucking play models, which is stupid.
He changed the game.
Completely.
Like, created like a whole like just he yes. changed how movie making was made
and what and yeah it ch- and the idea of what's possible is was completely different after this. And in retrospect, like Luke Skywalker's this mopey kid with zits, and he's and his dad is a prick, and there's a couple gay robots that have that are in love, and one is right at dick sucking height, and he's very enterable.
He has his openings all over the place.
Yeah, like, tons. Yeah,
shit. He eats something, it opens up.
Yes,
Luke definitely had some moments.
Yeah, it's like R2. I need to come right now, and he's like. Okay, I did it. So it's like, look, it was what we had. It was all we had. And then they made two more, and one had teddy bears in it. And the second one was kind of good because it was darker. But the third one was exactly the same as the first one, except with teddy bears. And then this guy's got a zillion dollars, and he's like, how about, hey, it's 20 years later. How about I make three more? And then
with Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah,
then the government. Fucking government stuff.
They had a Jamaican dude, a Jamaican fish man in there, and what's his Darth Vader? There's
all these Senate hearings. They were just constantly talking.
Ponytails.
I just want to see people getting fucked up.
Yeah, let's all have a ponytail. And Darth Vader is a massive puss. You're like, this is the most fucking badass, fearsome
emo
dude.
Emo Vader.
Yeah.
Emo Vader.
The best thing that ever came out of it was the Natalie Portman meme. So look, this guy's vastly overrated. He's got a zillion dollars. Then he sells it to Disney, and they bring in a mopier guy he's
Kylo
emo.
Ren.
Yeah, he's emo Darth Vader, and he's real sad, and his fucking dad is Han Solo, and his mom's Princess Leia. Whatever. Like, look, the guy got way too much of a pass because he definitely did change the game. So after he changed the game, and also people were like not expecting this to be such a big deal. So he comes out in 75 or whatever, 76, 77, whatever. I think it's 77. The first one comes out and they go, okay, here's $1 zillion. Make something for TV for Christmas time when we don't have shows. And he was probably like, fuck yes. Like, I might not get to do this again. Give me some money. So that's where we're at.
So it starts off in the Millennium Falcon, Chewie and Han Solo. They're being chased by, you know, the big triangular Imperial shit. Is it the Imperial Destroyer? No, big triangular thing.
Yeah.
And it's shooting at them and they hit light speed. And it's like, you're getting some like B-roll stuff from the original movie.
Yes. Yeah.
And
then
they show them in the cockpit and they're all bouncing around. Yeah. Like they're doing that thing like, and they're like, we need to get you home for Life Day on your home planet, Chewbacca. So Life Day is the holiday they're celebrating.
The guy doesn't even speak English. He doesn't even wear pants. And we're fucking racing him home to Kashyyyk, his planet.
Kashyyyk, right.
But he probably needs to fuck because he's a man dog.
Regression.
Yeah, he's a big old man dog with a bandolier.
Coolest character.
He is. No, he's badass. He's like 6'9". And he's probably
crossbow.
Yeah, he shoots a crossbow. He fucking runs around pantsless. His dick is around there somewhere. And he's probably like, and he's telling Han, he's like, yo, we're doing the Kessel run in 12 parsecs. It's great. Like, you know, we're bounty hunting. We're smuggling. We smuggle with your ship, whatever. I need to fuck. And how about you get me home for Life Day so I can do some fucking on my planet and then we can do more smuggling. Yeah.
So then they like, this is like, you know, the 70s had variety shows, the Sonny and Cher show and Brady Bunch variety, like there were all these kind of things. And right after Chewbacca's like, you know, they establish why they're going home. Then they're like, it's the Star Wars holiday show featuring Chewbacca's family, his wife, Mala. And she looks like a femme Chewie. Like she just looks like kind of gay Chewbacca. It's like Chewbacca with a grin.
Oh,
it's weird.
God,
it's weird. And that's his wife.
Yeah.
His father, Itchy, and he looks all fucked up. He's really ugly. He's wrinkled, white hair.
Itchy.
Itchy. He looks like kind of like Abe Simpson with long hair. His mouth, like he looks a little special.
Yeah.
I think they were trying to say that, like, he's missing
old.
There's something. Something's weird.
Yeah.
And then he's got this son, Lumpy, who's like
Lumpy
features,
like from Leave It to Beaver. What? How come some of them have regular names, Itchy and Lumpy?
And then,
this is like some South Park shit.
And so Lumpy has like a jutting lower teeth, kind of like Sigourney Weaver does. Like he's got the teeth that stick out a little bit,
underbite.
Yeah, but
I thought Sigourney Weaver's underbite was so hot back in the day.
Listen, when she's Dana, Dana, whatever, in
Ripley,
in Zool.
Oh yeah, yeah, yes. Oh yeah.
But
I had a bit of a sexual awakening to, cause I'm like, oh, that's a, I can be attracted to women. And Sigourney Weaver was one of those women. I don't care who knows it. I'll tell you, I wanted to fuck Sigourney Weaver. I still do. Go on.
I absolutely did.
Of course.
Then he introduced the special guest stars.
Yeah.
Beatrice Arthur, who's rocking a ponytail.
Yeah.
We'll get to her scene later. Wait,
B. Arthur's in there?
Yes.
Okay, hold on. I need to get this out. I need to give you my full attention, but I just looked up Chewbacca's wife and son, and it gets deeper, Ed. In the 1978 television program Star Wars Holiday Special,
it
introduces Chewbacca's family, including his wife. Those are abbreviated names, Ed. His wife's name is Mala Tobuk. His son is called Ed. This is cocaine talking. Lumpawarump.
That's cocaine.
And
that's
yes,
Lump. Definitely Bruce Verlaine written.
L U M P A W A R R U M P. And his father, Attachitichuk.
And they'd call him Itchy.
Yeah. Attichituk, who is the chief of the Kapaku tribe. Look, these guys were just throwing shit at the fucking wall. 100%.
And they're like, and let's just get some guest stars. So
yeah, okay. Who's
Beatrice
there?
Arthur.
B. Arthur. Stop it. Stop calling her Beatrice. Stop calling her Beatrice, Ed. That is so fucked up of you.
That's what
they
call it. No. That's what they call
Beatrice.
It.
She was on Maude. She was a big star. Yeah, so insane that she was a big star. Go on.
Yeah, she was right.
Yeah.
This was Maude days, yeah. Right?
Yes. Yeah.
So they got her. I guess Maude must have been on CBS. Maybe that was like.
Oh, that's what they do.
Robert.
Yeah, that's what they do.
But she's rocking a ponytail. They just show her as she's going to appear. They like pop the heads up, like featuring Beatrice Arthur, and then they show her. Then they show Art Carney. This is like 25 years after the Honeymooners. So he's just like old Art Carney.
Just there.
You know how like.
Just because he's a name you've heard of.
Yeah, he's a name you've heard of.
Yeah.
And like anybody who's gone back and watched the Honeymooners, it's, I mean, the Flintstones were based off the Honeymooners, but it was much better than the Honeymooners.
Yeah.
Like yes. Barney and Fred are better than Art Carney and Jackie Gleason.
The Honeymooners, like when I was in elementary school, the Honeymooners had a real resurgence in. Oh, I remember. They found lost episodes.
Yes. So terrible.
Yeah, they're like, these were too shitty to put on TV when this was literally the only thing on TV. There was one show on TV.
Test patterns for this show.
And these were too bad to even show when we were only showing one thing, but we're going to show them now. What was his name? Jackie Gleason. He was a bus driver, right?
He abused his wife.
He abused his wife, Alice.
Constantly threatening uppercuts.
Their wives were kind of hot, but they lived in the saddest apartment. And I'm like, this is worse than MASH. Like, well, I don't want to be bummed out right now. Like, this is such a bummer. How was this ever popular? But it was the only thing on TV.
This was so big. There's a statue of Jackie Gleason, but whatever his character was, Ralph Cramden.
That's what it is, Ralph Cramden.
Outside the Port Authority bus terminal. There's a big statue.
This is like Rocky.
Yeah.
He wasn't actually a bus driver.
Right.
He was portraying a bus driver.
It's bizarre.
Holy shit.
So you got Art Carney.
Yeah.
Then you have this chick, Diane Carroll, who was like a singer. And she was attractive,
yes.
But she had this like wild look. She had like blue hair or something.
Yes. But I think she was like a Broadway person or like a Rockette. She was like a singer dancer. And she was, she was like a hot black lady. And I can't remember, but she fucked somebody famous. And I think that was like part of the allure. I think it might have been like Frank Sinatra or something. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
And then they introduce the Jefferson Starship. So
post airplane.
About 9 years.
Yeah.
This is about 9 years after Altamont, where the Hell's Angels murdered people.
Yes.
And about 8 years before we built this city, yeah. Just Starship.
Yes. Yeah. Then. Yeah. Yeah.
They hadn't dropped it. So it's pretty much no Grace Slick.
Right. Because she was doing too much coke. They couldn't probably get her out of her apartment.
All right. And then.
Yeah.
The variety show king himself, Harvey Korn. This has got to be Carol Burnett.
Yeah.
But like, hey, we need you to.
That was a and CBS so show. Yeah.
Like, feature Princess Leia and all these. And then R2-D2 Pluff. And it's like that little guy in there.
Yeah.
And they don't give him any credit. They can't say the Kenny Baker.
Yeah, that's bullshit. They just say, little man. Yeah.
R2 himself.
Yeah, that's bullshit. That's bullshit. There's a little person inside the thing who's acting. And look, remember when the Lord of the Rings came out, that dude that played Gollum, where Andy Serkis, we're getting him shoved up our ass every fucking day. It's actually a real guy. It's not a cartoon. It looks like a cartoon, but it's a real ass guy doing the thing. They couldn't do the same for our buddy Kenny Baker and that all hot and sweaty inside that little machine thing. Bullshit.
They gave C-3PO credit, not Kenny Baker.
Right. Yeah. Well, because C-3PO is a little uppity, you know. He's gonna be fussy if you don't give him his due.
He is persnickety.
that's what the P stands for.
So we're at Chewbacca's house. His family lives in like a giant house. Everyone's got these huge tree houses.
Yeah,
and. This special grandpa is whittling a toy X-Wing fight. He's like sitting there making a X-Wing fight with wood.
Yeah.
And then Chewbacca's son Lumpy is just playing and making lots of noise. And grandpa's pissed off. Keep in mind, when Chewbacca got these movies, Han Solo would be like, Chewie, there's no way we can make that turn here. Like, there's someone explaining what they're saying.
Yeah.
There is, I think it's about 15 minutes growling Wookiees. Yeah. His dad and his son, and there's no titles.
Yeah.
It's like performance art. What is going on?
15 minutes, Ed. You're exaggerating. Stop it.
15 minutes. Lumpy takes out the trash, looks longingly for his dad. They pick up, they like to express that the wife is like missing Chewbacca.
Yeah.
She goes to the shelf. He picks up like a JCPenney portrait of like a glossy photo.
An Olin Mills? At it. Stop.
Yeah.
Stop.
She wants that Wookiee dog. Grandpa grabs what is like a cassette, and he inserts it into a table.
Yeah.
And a little Cirque du Soleil show performs for and Lumpy. They're Lumpy. Yeah. It's like very erotic. Like it's like I don't know. They're just like dancing on a table.
Yeah.
And then mom yells at Lee to dry the dishes. Yeah. And checks her radar for this weird looking radar. She's looking for Chewie.
Oh, to see
this,
if he's
this is if,
oh, she's tracking
right here.
Yeah.
12 minutes in and no words have been spoken at all in that first scene.
And she's tracking his location. Look, I've run into issues with this. Chewie, buddy. Yeah. Do not under
my eye at all.
No circumstances should you ever make your location available to a third party or a second party. Just keep that information to yourself. I'll be home when I'm going to be home and then be home at that time. But wherever you were is a mystery. You could just say you were at a place and not have been seen at a different place. That's advice I'll give Chewie. Okay, go on.
Yeah. So they call Luke. They video call him.
Yeah.
They're fixing R2-D2 and some like ran. They said, all right, we need you for a day on set. And he's just in a random room like R2-D2.
Yeah.
But here's the thing.
Yeah.
He got that big car accident that up his face. He's wearing so much makeup. It's like, it's Luke Skywalker. I don't know. He's wearing makeup than any person I've ever seen. It's like he's in Kiss so much makeup.
Yeah, it must have been. Well, I mean, cause look, in the original, in the original Star Wars, Luke Skywalker had a lot of zits. He had some teenage acne going on there, and which fit the character, but they didn't cake the makeup. So it must have been, and plus it's TV, it must have been car accident related, you know, like he went through the windshield or something. Yeah.
Yeah. But there's roaring, and Luke is like, hey, I'm Chewbacca. He hasn't missed a life. You just met Chewbacca last year, buddy.
Yeah.
You've been around for exactly what day in his life. You don't know shit. You don't know anything, Luke.
They're playing it fast and loose with the timelines here. Like, they're old buddies. They've literally done one mission together.
So they hang up with him, and then they check in at Carney, who's being investigated by an Imperial guard. He runs like a general store. It's like,
yeah.
He tells Chewie's wife, like, I'll stop by later. I got to drop something off.
Yeah.
Then they some like B roll stuff with Vader, just Martin, you know, around. Like, it probably the first movie.
Yeah.
Then we're back to Chewie, who's watching like a child like cooking show.
Chewie's
in the Julia.
There was no children's wife. Cooking shows back then.
No. The wife.
I know, but
trying to.
They invented that,
and so Chewie's wife is watching a cooking show, and it's like a Julia Child like show. But the Julia Child character is played by Harvey Korman, who's like very unfunny. Stop. He has like four arms.
Stop it!
And they're cooking bantha dish kind of.
Stop.
It's like 4 minutes long. Look, this is clearly supposed to be the funny part.
Look,
it's not funny.
I know Carol Burnett's a genius. Okay, I get it. So here's this thing, and also I finally watched the final season of Better Call Saul, and she's on there, and she's very good, and she's legendary, and she's pretty goddamn old, and she's like nailing it. But I think that show might have been on like Sunday nights or Friday nights. I just remember being at my grandma's house a lot watching it. It would be on, and my fucking grandma would be, of course, this is the same grandma that I saw the movie Rob Roy with.
Rob Roy.
Yeah. And she would be laughing her ass off. She would be laughing, and I would be like, what's, it's just a fucking guy in a dress. Like, what is funny here? And
right. What's the joke?
What's the joke? I don't get the joke. I don't know what's going on with the joke. They're doing like loud voices, and they're all breaking up and laughing. And let's not forget, this is a very important thing that we shouldn't forget. Yes, Carol Burnett is hailed as a genius, and the show was groundbreaking. I don't know, because they never did more shows like it, so I don't know what ground it broke. But fine, they're doing sketches on TV. It's okay. It's cool, okay? You can it's not for me. It's for other people. But let's not forget that the Carol Burnett show gave birth to Vicki Lawrence and her hilarious character.
Worst show.
Her hilarious character, Mama, which was just the worst her... show. Just acting a little bit older than she was. She's just like, oh,
like really mean.
Yeah. I'm
like,
yeah.
She's mean to people.
I'm just me in a wig, and I'm like someone's mother. And then, and we're bumpkins, and this is my whole family. And then that she got
my
her
son
own.
Son is a song and dance man.
Ken Berry from F Troop. Great show. Is my son F Troop, where the Indians were Jewish. I don't know. Okay. Like this is shit that was happening when we were kids, and it was just normal then. And it's impossible to explain now. And so Carol Burnett, she foisted Vicki Lawrence upon us, who then became Mama. And then it's like 5 o'clock on a Saturday, and your mom's cooking dinner, and you just want to, and there's no sports on because they didn't figure out that there could be sports at night. And then, so you're just like looking at the TV for something to watch, and you end up watching Mama's Family, and it makes you sad. It's a sad show. It's sad people.
Bummer of a show.
Yeah. It's not funny. And this Harvey Korman, same deal. You know, Tim Conway, I get, he's doing Dorf on Golf after the, like.
Not funny.
It's not funny. They never did anything that was funny, and they're considered geniuses. And I don't understand that. Like, I never laughed one single fucking time. Okay. Harvey Korman's there, and he's in a dress, which was all he ever did, was just being it. Oh, look at me. I'm laughing.
He was great as Hedley Lamarr in Blazing Saddles.
That was funny. That's true. You're right.
Right?
Fair.
But that was written by Mel Brooks.
Mel Brooks, genius.
Like, this was him on his own doing this was a Carol Burnett segment.
Yeah.
And it was terrible.
Of course it was.
So there's Han and Chewie battling TIE fighters, blah, 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 blah. Now we learn that Marsh has been declared on the Wookiee planet by the Empire.
Yeah.
Nobody can take off her land. And she's upset. She's like, you know, clearly this has to do with Chewbacca not being able to get there. Yeah. There's a knock on the door. It's Art Carney.
Yeah.
He gives them all a pep talk. An old timey pep talk, gives Lumpy and Mala a life day present, then he kisses them. So like Art Carney's like a close family friend that's kissing them. And then he says to Grandpa, and this is the part that I want you guys to pull up when you it's worth checking this out.
Okay, what's the timestamp?
He says to Grandpa,
yeah.
Let me see if I have the exact time.
It doesn't matter. No one's going to do it anyway, but I would like to.
No.
Yeah.
I promise you, you're going to want to see this because it's fucking porn. I think it's about, it's like a half hour into it.
Yeah.
Of the thing.
Yeah.
But he goes, he leans into to Grandpa and he goes, Itchy, I'd know what you'd like, in a sly voice. He plugs into some sort of, like he puts Grandpa in like a VR chair. He's got like something over. It's a sensual video of Diane Carroll, disco ball, trippy visual effects. And Carroll starts softly saying, I'm getting your message. Are you getting my message? And then he grunts.
No.
Oh, what? We're getting excited, aren't we? Just relax. Now we can have a good time, aren't we?
What?
I'll tell you a secret. I find you adorable. And then they show Itchy rewinding the scene a few times, and he's definitely jacking it. Mm-hmm. And she keeps saying, I am your fantasy, so experience me. I'm your pleasure. It's wild.
Wasn't this for kids?
So, yes.
Oh, it's Star Wars. It's bizarre. It's a kid show.
So
holy
I'm telling
shit.
You, it's the half hour. I did mark it. You should not watch it, but on this 1 hour and 37 minute version,
yeah.
You skip right to the half hour mark and you're going to see a Wookiee jacking it to Diane Carroll. Oh, and then she breaks into song for like 5 minutes. It's a bad song.
I'm going to have to look this
up. She's attractive, but it's rough.
I'm going to have to look this up.
We cut to Princess Leia and C-3PO in an office somewhere. They're like, they're in an office, doing paperwork.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like nothing. They clearly just said, Carrie Fisher, please stop doing cocaine for a few minutes.
Yeah.
We're going to put you in an office.
We'll give you 50 grand. Just have somebody drive you over to the Paramount lot. There's an office set up with a camera and a boom. Come in for half an hour and we'll give
and
you
then
the
you
bag.
Can get back to your cocaine.
Yeah. 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 We'll have cocaine there for you. There was probably some cocaine just offset.
So, she calls Mala say happy life day because, you know, Princess Leia goes way back. Happy life day. Mala's upset about missing Chewie. Then Leia talks to Art Carney, who's still there. And she's like, take care of Chewie's family until he returns. And then I wrote down,
Art Carney's the babysitter?
Yeah. I wrote, my God, we're 37 minutes in. I have an hour left of this shoe. Chewie's family hears a spaceship land on the roof and they think it's dad. Instead, it's stormtroopers and Imperial officers snooping around their place. Now, Art Carney tries to intervene.
Why couldn't they radar that part? You know, because they got find my phone. Again, Chewie, big mistake, buddy. We're not sharing our location anymore, okay? We're just not doing that. She could radar that Chewie was coming in, but she couldn't radar that there was an Imperial stormtrooper ship coming in? Bullshit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Carney is like, I don't know what these stormtroopers are thinking. Like, Art Carney's like this old timey guy, like, hey, guys, let me see if I can help you. And then he takes the Imperial officer and he's like, let me show you this video. And it's a performance of Jefferson Airplane. Like I said, no Grease Slick.
Stop.
And the Imperial officer is like really into it. It's like a music video from 1978 for Jefferson Airplane.
Stop.
It's like the guitar work isn't bad.
Yeah.
But it's like lots of wah-wah pedals and stuff.
Yeah.
And You just want, like, just, guys, I know Dre Slick isn't there, but just play White Rabbit.
Yeah, on. You only have the one song. You only have the one fucking song.
Yeah. The song ends, and the stormtroopers are like, all right, Carney, get the fuck out. Like, we don't need you here.
Yeah.
Stormtrooper goes upstairs to look at Lumpy's room, and Lumpy tries to block the stormtrooper, and they just toss the little kid, and they're like, all right, we're going to fuck up your toy. And then there's more Wookiee talk.
Yeah.
They calm down.
Yeah.
They calm him down by, they show him a video machine where he watches a Star Wars cartoon.
Yeah.
Then there's a 9-minute cartoon.
Yeah.
That like involves, like, it's about like Boba Fett. The Luke cartoon makes him look like Sandy Duncan, which I thought was kind of funny, but
yeah,
it's just a weird adventure where Boba Fett pretends to help save Han and Luke, but really he's working for Darth Vader.
Yeah. He's a bounty hunter. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Boba Fett has 4 fingers on one hand and 5 on the other. Like, they did not put in the work.
What?
And they're like, it's like after the cartoon ends, and this is like a 10-minute cartoon, 9-minute cartoon.
Yeah.
Then you go back and you still see stormtroopers fucking up the kid's room. It's like a drug raid. Yeah. They're breaking toys and dolls, and then they leave and they're like, go clean your room, kid.
Yeah.
And then there's more Wookiee grunting.
They're like the fucking FBI. You know, I think I've admitted this on the show before, but when, as a child, I mean,
stormtroopers fucked up your room.
Also as an adult, mm-hmm. I always thought the stormtroopers were robots. It wasn't until my son got into Star Wars when he was like, I don't know, 6 years old. And then he's watching Star Wars, and then he starts watching like the Star Wars cartoons and shit. They take the helmets off. And I'm like, there's a dude in there?
I thought they were, as a kid, I thought they were robots.
Okay. It's not just me. Other people thought this too. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Fair.
Yeah. Right. There's no skin shown.
Yeah. Yes. That's right. They look like robots from the outside.
I got bad news. Harvey Korman's back. He's playing a robot hosting a transmitter in instructional video, and not funny segment.
Why? Why did
Blazing Saddles isn't walking through that door? We're just getting bad Harvey Korman.
Why is this guy? Again, CBS, they're using their own talent. You know, they're self-promoting here.
So I got to tell you.
Tell me.
I was trying to follow, but like I just couldn't. I couldn't like bring myself to concentrate enough. So for some reason, they go to the cantina.
You started looking at your phone.
Cantina.
You're talking about
that was on Tatooine, right?
Yeah,
that wasn't.
Yeah, the Mos Eisley canteen. Yeah, that's not on Chewie's planet. Again, you're playing it fast and loose with the fucking locations here. This is bullshit. Was Greedo there?
Greedo was murdered.
We waxed Greedo earlier. He shot first.
Yeah, he shot first.
Poor Greedo.
So Greedo, you know, he just wanted his money. So there's like similar looking aliens at the cantina.
Yeah.
And there's music playing.
All the aliens look sort of like fish. Again, lazy.
Yes.
Lazy. Like, Akbar, the dude's a squid. He looks kind of like Britney Spears. He's got the eyes over here. You know, he's not vulnerable to predators. And some of the dudes just have a straight up fish head on top of, it's like, come on, guys, be a little more creative here.
And, you know, they've got to have a sassy bartender at the cantina. Who's playing the sassy bartender?
Miss Piggy.
B. Arthur.
You mean Beatrice Arthur?
Beatrice Arthur. Yeah, B. Arthur's playing there. And somebody's at the at the bar talking to her.
Yeah.
It's Harvey Korman as the third character. He's now a guy who has a flat head and a beak. Right. He's hitting on B. Arthur.
I gotta watch this. You sold me, Ed. I'm gonna be watching this now. You sold me on it.
To never watch this. This is the worst thing ever.
Can't believe you did this.
Talking about the Empire imposing a curfew, and then B's trying to kick everyone out.
Yeah.
And when they refuse, she's like, "All right, I'll buy everyone around." And she sings a song about saying goodnight, but not goodbye.
She
wanted to sing.
Yeah, of course. Should we be drinking? Like, look, they're doing VR porno. they're rolling kids' rooms. They're hanging out at sketchy bars, and this is a children's holiday show? This is wild.
Yeah. Now we're back in Lumpy's bedroom.
Oh my!
The stormtrooper catches Lumpy on his computer trying to contact the rebels. So he smashes Lumpy's computer.
This is predictive programming. There was no internet back then. You couldn't do that.
Right. What?
Al Gore was not involved. Like, and all of a sudden, they're Skyping? They're Skyping in 1978? Wild.
So then Chewbacca and Han Solo show up right as the stormtrooper is fucking up Chewbacca's son.
And they got the actual Harrison Ford.
Yeah, he's there. And wow. Chewbacca sees somebody fucking with his son.
Yeah.
What happens to that stormtrooper?
He gets fucked.
He gets tossed out of the treehouse. Yeah. He gets tossed over.
Yeah. So Baca shows up and he's wrecking house. Like this is kind of what we've been building toward. We want Chewbacca to show up and do some Chewbacca shit and, you know, maybe do finally get some relations with his wife, Mala Tobuk.
Yeah. And it clearly Chewie tells Han, like, hey.
Yeah.
You know, I need to be left alone because Han shows up, gives the family a hug, and he's like, oh, Lumpy, your voice is changing. And then he gets the fuck out of there. He's like, happy life day, everyone. Okay. And Han Solo is like, yeah, I'm Harrison Ford.
Yeah, I'm stoned.
I got to go back, smoke some weed.
Yeah, I just signed. Tom Selleck has not been allowed to be Indiana Jones. I'm going to be taking that over. I'm real fucking stoned. I can barely remember my lines. I'm out of here. I'm going to go bang Princess Leia again because she's all coked up and horny.
Right.
Yeah.
Then there's some tender music, more Wookiee, like just growling to each other, lots of hugs and bullshit. And then I was thinking, like, their fur must smell awful.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. That planet. Think of if you had a planet made of nothing but dogs.
Yeah.
And nobody's grooming them?
Oh, isn't it kind of swampy, too? Isn't it like a jungle type shit?
They're always in a treehouse.
Yeah, see? Forest? So it's not, you know, you need a lot of sunlight to cleanse, to kill bacteria. You know, if you're just, right. If you're just in dense forest all the time, shit is growing on you. And it's not like they're combing each other.
Inside the fur.
Inside the fur, like under in the Famunda area where the nuts are, furry nuts, Ed. Disgusting. Mm.
Gross.
Yeah.
So he's gone. And then there's a knock on the door. It gets tense again. They're like, they're looking around and you can tell it has, you know, the stormtrooper is going to be like, it's Art Carney again. And he's like, oh, don't worry. I'll be cover up the dead stormtrooper.
What?
Fell out of the treehouse.
Stop it.
He's like, I got it.
Is he like, wearing the hat? Like, cause when he was on the honeymooners, he always had the hat.
Yeah,
no hat.
No,
unbelievable.
I'm looking at him right now. I put it up on my TV. He's just, you know, balding older version of himself.
Unbelievable.
He used to be like really skinny and now he's like
he's been drinking Chivas for 40 years.
Right. Yeah. But then he's like, no, we got this. And he leaves and he goes, hey, may the force be with you, and leaves. The Wookiees don't have the force.
What's this? Neither does Art Carney.
There's no force in this.
This is stolen valor. He's pretending that he's a Jedi. There's no Jedis involved. There's not a fucking single Jedi on the show except for Luke, who had the face makeup, and that was 20 minutes ago.
Right.
Unfucking believable.
And remember, we saw Leia in the office.
Yeah.
She didn't have any powers until like the most recent movies where she's flown through space.
Yeah. Where she's beyond the grave. Yeah, she's doing the force from only but after she's dead.
Right.
Unfucking
never had the force before.
Yeah, so suddenly has the force. Get the fuck out of here with the fuck the force.
But Art Carney's saying, may the force be with you to the Wookiees, and leaves.
Stop it.
And then that's pretty much it. That's the end of the show. It's messed. And it came out, it came out in November. So this was like around Thanksgiving that Life Day thing.
Well, let's look it up here while we're here. We got the Wikipedia. The Star Wars Holiday Special is an American television special originally broadcast by CBS. November 17th, 1978. It is set in the universe of the sci-fi based Star Wars media franchise. Directed by Steve Binder, it was the first Star Wars spin-off film set between the events of the original film and the then unreleased sequel, The Empire Strikes Back. It stars the main cast of the original Star Wars and introduces... Ed, this was the first appearance of Boba Fett.
Right, he wasn't in the first one.
Do you know, and I only know...
Because he's the one who ultimately took Han Solo. Yeah. He's the guy who captured him.
Yeah, I only know this because what do we know about Boba Fett? He's some badass bounty hunter, but how is he felled? Well, his jetpack malfunctions and somebody accidentally whacks him with a stick.
Doesn't Lando?
Might
Lando
have been.
Get him with a stick?
Yeah, or? Somebody hits him with a stick.
Or maybe it was Han Solo when he was blind.
Yeah.
Remember he was blind when he came out of the...
Yeah, because he was frozen in carbonite. Then Boba Fett, he's felled by the Sarlacc pit, which is just like a hole in the ground with teeth that eats people. But it's
with
in
teeth
the,
and like a big tongue.
Yeah,
right?
But it's in the middle of the desert. Like, who's it getting? There's nobody out there. Right. Except for these guys that day. So he's fell by the Sarlacc pit. But it was later that I learned from our dear friend John in Fullerton, who now resides in Huntington Beach, who's used to call this show occasionally or email the show and tell us that he liked it, that he had many threesomes.
He had many threesomes
and he very much enjoyed having sex with women on their periods. And that was something. But while I was not interested in any of that information, he provided me some other
information. He was willing to provide it.
Yeah. He provided me some other information that I was not privy to previously. That he got from Star Wars books because he was reading Star Wars.
Like textbooks?
Yeah. No, like novels, like Star Wars, you know, like there's a whole universe of Star Wars novels.
Fan fiction.
Yeah, fanfic, but like sanctioned.
Right.
We learned that Boba Fett survived the Sarlacc pit. He was just like hanging on an edge.
How did he get out of there?
He didn't, somebody came and rescued him and nursed him back to health. I can't remember who it was.
I'm pretty sure we saw him go into the pit.
He goes into the pit, but Salacious Crumb or somebody comes along and Lobot comes along and scoops him out of there and nurses him back to life. So we learned that he lives later. But what do we know now? First time we ever see the dude is in the Christmas special. Who knew? I never knew that.
So that cartoon, it's like, it's just, he's like, I'll help you guys. And then he double crosses them in the end.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course he does.
For
he's a bounty hunter.
Help Vader. Like
he's
that was it.
Scumbag. Yeah.
Whoever's going to pay the most, he's going to work for.
Did you know? And I wasn't until my son was watching these movies that I learned that the stormtroopers are all clones of Boba Fett because Boba Fett is the most badass you can be. So they're like, let's make a whole bunch of Boba Fetts.
One of the Jar Jar Binks movies shows that.
Yes.
Like one of those three.
Yeah.
I remember when they go to the cloning site.
Yes.
That's when I learned that they were men inside, not robots.
Right. And then they go, and then that's when they go execute order number 34. And that's when they wax all the Jedis all at once, including Samuel L. Jackson.
There's all the kids.
Yeah. Samuel L. Jackson apparently is a Jedi. In the storyline that ties this special together, was Jimmy Smits also there? Was Jimmy Smits perhaps a Jedi as well? I might be making that up.
Oh, in the Jar Jar Binks one.
Yeah. Yes. Was, Jimmy Smits is there? God damn.
Yes.
Has there ever been anybody that worked more for no reason than Jimmy Smits? Jimmy Smits just shows up everywhere.
He doesn't jump off the, screen.
He's just a regular ass guy. In the storyline that ties the special together following the events of the original film, Chewbacca and Han Solo attempt to visit the Wookiee. The spelling of Wookiee is jarring to me. W-O-O-K-I-E-E. Get the fuck out of here. Home planet of Kashyyyk. Kashyyyk has three Ys in it, Ed. K-A-S-H-Y-Y-Y-K. to celebrate Life Day.
Why indeed? Why indeed?
They are pursued by agents of the Galactic Empire who are searching for members of the Rebel Alliance on the planet. The special introduces three members of Chewbacca's family. We've learned this. His father, Itchy, his wife, Mala, and his son, Lumpy. Okay, the program also features the rest of the main characters, including Luke Skywalker, C-3PO, R2-D2, Darth Vader. Oh, I didn't hear you talk much about Vader.
He's not in it much. Like,
because he's too scary.
Like, walk.
And they couldn't get James Earl Jones.
Yeah, maybe he has a line. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah. Scenes take place in space and in a spacecraft, including the Millennium Falcon, Star Destroyer. Segments also take place in a few other locales, such as the Mos Eisley Cantina from the original film. The special was poorly received, Ed, and has never been rebroadcast nor officially released on home video. Almost said Home Depot because I am stupid. In any format in its entirety, it has become something of a cultural legend due to the underground quality of its existence. It has been viewed and distributed in off-air recordings. Okay, bootleg copies. Plot. Well, no, I don't think we.
The version I watched, I will say somebody did some real work on like updating it. It looks
good.
Very like clean considering it came out in 1978.
Yeah, and this is to nerds, Ed. Nerds loved it. Oh, Ed, you spoke about this. Kenny Baker, who played R2-D. Oh, Ed. They fucked over Kenny Baker. They didn't want to pay his rate. Kenny Baker, who played R2-D2 in the films, was not involved in the special. The droid was performed entirely by a radio-controlled unit operated by Mick Garris.
But that's where they're going to save money? Like...
Yeah. Yeah. Ed, this next detail is going to just stun you. The droid was performed entirely by a radio-controlled unit operated by Mick Garris. In parenthesis, Lucas's receptionist.
Oh, man.
He had a male receptionist, Ed? A receptionist? It's a very specific title. The receptionist is the one
Friday.
The receptionist is the one at the fucking door. When you walk in, right. She's there. She's answering the phone.
You.
And notice I'm saying she, because, hey.
In the 70s?
It's a girl job. It's a girl job. He's got a.
In the 70s, it was.
He's got a male receptionist, and he's like, hey, Mick, I'm going to need you to run the remote controlled R2-D2. This is a special job that you're going to have to do for us. Are you up to it? And Mick's like, yeah. In the credits, R2-D2 is credited by announcer Art James as playing himself, as Ed allowed. Because James Earl Jones was originally uncredited in Star Wars, the special marked the first time he was credited as the voice of Darth Vader.
He didn't get credit for Star Wars?
Not at first. Mala's mask was repurposed from a Chewbacca mask from... Oh, that's Ed. That's kind of what you pointed out. She just looks like girl Chewbacca.
Dick.
I'm not mad at that. The names of Chewbacca's family were later explained to have been nicknames, their full names being Mala Tobuk, Atta-Chuk-Chuk, and Lapa Wumprump. Oh, and Lumpa Waru.
How would you know?
Or Lumpa Waru.
Why would people know this? Because they don't we never see their full name.
Because of the cocaine, Ed. This is a cocaine backstory, 100%. While outlining the original Star Wars and planning its potential sequels, Lucas imagined a film just about Wookiees, nothing else. See, this is...
subtitles.
This is...
Just growling for 15 minutes or whatever.
This isn't Clan of the Cave Bear, Ed. Like, this is not art. You know, it's not a silent movie. Like, this is... Don't try to elevate shit. This is on CBS. Okay, who made it? The segments, Muse. Oh, I want to know about Jefferson Airplane.
Oh, wait a second. There is a part I forgot about.
Yes, tell me.
At the end, Princess Leia sings a song and nobody knows what's going on. She did sing.
Yeah, the bikini on?
Like, it's during their, like, life date. So after Art Carney leaves and he's like, I'll take care of your, you know, covering up your crime.
Yeah.
They, like, get out these globes. Yeah. This is, like, the life day thing.
She gets out the globes? These glowing. I'm into it if she gets out the globes. No. Oh, different.
They get out something and all of a sudden they're transported to a weird universe where Princess Leia is singing. It's
unbelievable.
It's wild.
Yeah. Okay, Ed, listen to this. Original music was performed for the Star Wars Holiday Special by Ken and Mitzi Welch. Well, I don't care about this. The special features four songs. Number one, This Minute Now is sung by Diane Carroll, who is supposed to be an image created by a virtual reality machine. Tells
after the jackoff session. Yes. She sings right after the jackoff session.
Tells Chewbacca's father, Itchy, that she is his, quote, fantasy.
Yeah.
And suggestively invites him to, quote, experience her.
Yep. That's at the half hour mark.
Light the Sky on Fire, performed by Jefferson Starship, which is presented as a 3D music video watched by one of the Imperial Guards during production. The song was given the working title Cigar-Shaped Object. The song was included as a bonus 45 RPM single in the Jefferson Starship Greatest Hits collection.
Wow, that is a stretch. If that makes their greatest hits, wow.
Later, B. Arthur, who plays Akmena, proprietress of the Mos Eisley Cantina, sings Goodnight But Not Goodbye, set to the Cantina Band theme. Some of the same aliens seen in the Cantina in Star Wars reappear, including the band Figurin' Dan and the Modal Nodes. God damn it. Finally, at the end of the special, Carrie Fisher sings a song in celebration of Life Day to the tune of the Star Wars title by John Williams. Harvey Korman provides comedy in three of the special skits, including the Cantina skits.
In quotes, he provides comedy.
Art Carney has a more integral role in the story, playing a traitor named Son Dan. Oh, so he's doing a character, Ed, on Kashyyyk, who is a member of the Rebellion and helps Chewie's family. His segments are also largely played for laughs, Ed. And at one point includes a scene alluding to his character Ed Norton from The Honeymooners, where an Imperial officer demands that he get on with it while Carney dallies with a prop, thus introducing the Jefferson Starship performance, Ed. They talk about the cartoon. Yeah. George Lucas did not have significant involvement and was reportedly unhappy with the results. In 1987, Lucas reportedly said of the special, "I believe it will be released on videotape. I'm not sure if they're going to rerun it on television or not." In May 2005, Lucas was asked if the film had soured on him working on television. He replied, "The special from 1978 really didn't have much to do with us, you know. I can't remember what network it was on, but it was a thing that they did. We kind of let them do it. It was done by, I can't even remember who the group was, but they were variety TV guys. We let them use the characters and stuff, and that probably wasn't the smartest thing to do, but you have to learn." Wow, Ed. I mean, what a ride. What a ride. I feel like I'm going to watch this. I feel like I'm
just watch that half hour thing. And then like about 12 seconds into Diane Carroll's song, you're like, yeah, I'm good. But I forgot because I just zipped ahead to see what happens.
Yeah.
So this whole Life Day part where Princess Leia is singing.
Yes.
Han and Luke Skywalker, they all are there. They get transported to this Life Day and Chewbacca's wearing a robe. It's the weirdest thing.
See, he dresses sometimes, like he puts on clothes. I bet you, like, kind of like Donald Duck, who wears no pants, but when he goes to the beach, he puts on shorts. Like, if Chewbacca went to the beach, he'd have some, like, long, like, Bermuda shorts on at the beach, even though he walks around with his dick out the rest of the days. Very weird.
I could see him wearing a pair of jams.
Jams! He'd be running jams down the beach, you know, throwing the frisbee, maybe a little smash ball back and forth. Come on. Okay, Ed, as always, just fantastic work by you. I mean, look, I don't, like, this is a philanthropic endeavor for our buddy Ed Daly. This guy, he comes out, He watches this bullshit so we don't have to. Then he comes on here and tells us about it. And I, for one, really enjoyed. I appreciate you, Ed. Thank you for all your work. For Ed Daly, my name is Brian Beckner. This has been whichever episode of the Bottle Lifestyle Podcast. We will see you next week.
Happy holidays, everyone. With
Easy Ed Daly and MJ Stew and Brian Beckner, quick to dissect the week in sports and culture and whatever. Most Daily's choice, Ed's taking a peek while you're over at the urinal taking a leak. Talking loud, comments, conundrums, my brothers, reviewing some of these.